Intelligence Commission committee. They said there's no collusion.
An unemployed New Jersey man who won last Friday's $273 million Mega Millions jackpot said he wants to reward the mystery person who returned the tickets to the store where he'd left them a day earlier. See, the man went in to buy the tickets and said he was so preoccupied with his phone that he left the ticket there. Well, someone turned in those tickets, and one of those tickets ended up being the winner, all $273 million worth. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McEntee, and you're on the air with Hunterdon County Radio, and this is Home Time, Home Team, Health and Home with Home Team, and another beautiful Friday for you. That makes five in a row now, so I guess maybe I brought some luck to the county because we've had great weather every show that we've done. A little bit about Home Team. We're going to do in top today. We're going to talk to Mike Aceto from CSI. Mike's company does septic inspections, and he does a lot of them for me. And it's one of the crucial parts of buying a home. It's also one of the crucial parts of keeping your home updated. So we'll basically cover it in two sections. In the beginning, we'll talk about the septic system and the inspection and the process and in the equipment. In the second half, we'll probably focus on what the homeowner should do to keep their tanks up and running and ready to go. A little bit about myself, like I do every week. I spent 8 years after 9/11 building vehicles for the government. And people say, what do you mean building governments? Well, I outfitted Suburbans and specialized trucks. I built some of the bomb trucks for North Jersey, for Morris County, Bergen County, Jersey City. And we also built the ESU trucks for New York City and the fire battalion vehicles for New York City. And one of the best things I ever did was build a hammer van for the President of the United States. The first one was for George Bush. And that's in a van that was built to evacuate them in case of a chemical attack. So neat stuff that we did. And I also did a lot of Suburbans for Secret Service and FBI. These are guys that are out there, guys, for us, for you, for me. They're out there to protect us. And as they said, their job was 99% boredom broken up by 1% chaos. So I think we can all be thankful that there are people out there watching the wall for us and protecting all of us. And I love doing that, but it didn't last because after 9/11, the money was there, but then the money kind of dried up, and then big industry got involved, like Lockheed and Halliburton, and took most of the contracts that way. So that's my history. It's a little technology, so it actually helps me in my home inspection because the technical aspect of it. We're going to take a break here. We'll do the weather, and then I'm going to introduce you to Mike, so hang on.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Okay, guys, the weather forecast. Today is going to be cloudy with 40 degrees, and a high of 40 and a low of 26. It looks pretty sunny out there, so maybe that forecast is not so accurate. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 47 high, 33 low. Sunday, we're going to get some rain, it looks like. High of 54, so hopefully it'll stay warm so we won't have any of that nasty ice. 37 low. Monday, we're back to 51 degrees and 30 degrees and partly sunny. And Tuesday, 45 and 25. Wednesday looks like it's 50 degrees and 32 low. So the weather forecast for this area looks a lot better than the rest of the country. I don't know if you're watching it, but down south they're suffering with tornadoes right and left, and out west they have ice and rain and tons of snow. So I guess the Garden State is delivering some mild winter weather for us, so let's keep our fingers crossed and our knock on wood. I'll be right back with Mike Aceto from CSI Classic Septic Inspection.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, welcome back. As I said, I'm joined with Mike Aceto from CSI, our Classic Septic Inspection. Mike, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Sure, Larry. It's very nice to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners. My name is Mike Aceto, and I'm with Classic Septic Inspections. Our company's been around about 18 years. I started the company by myself, one guy. We strictly do septic inspections. I had previously worked for another company who did an array of things for septic, such as installations and pumpings and repairs. And to me, when I was doing the inspections for them, it was kind of a conflict of interest. So I decided that I would go out on my own, start my own company, never thinking it would be to where it is today, which you never do know. But we're strictly septic inspections now. So we do our inspections based on home inspections, real estate, pre-sale inspections. If you think you're having a problem with a septic, we'll go out and we'll identify what the problem are. And then we can give you some referrals, such as excavators that can help you out with it, some pumpers that we know that are out there. If you need engineers, we can help you with the engineers. But getting back to how we do our inspections, it starts from ground zero. When an inspection gets called into us, Board of Health will get notified that we're going to be doing an inspection, and we try to get all the records from that system or that particular property, such as if you're buying a four-bedroom house, when they design a septic system, they design a septic system based on the number of bedrooms. So if you're buying a four-bedroom house, you're going to want to make sure that the septic system was designed for four bedrooms. So when we go to the Board of Health, a lot of times a client or a seller will be putting a house on the market for four bedrooms when the system is actually designed for three bedrooms. It's kind of important. When you design a septic in the state of New Jersey, it's 200 gallons for the first bedroom and 150 for each additional. So you're buying a three-bedroom house, it's designed for 500 gallons. And if they're going to be telling you that there's four bedrooms and it's actually three bedrooms, well, you're kind of losing out on 150 gallons. So when you think about water usage in a house, most people use 65 to 75 gallons of water a day. So
let me just add there, even if you don't have the people staying in the bedrooms, you're losing value in the house, because you may think you're buying a four-bedroom house, but then when you go to resell it, if the septic system isn't rated at the right number of bedrooms, somebody's going to call you out and say, this is not a four-bedroom house, it's a three-bedroom house, therefore it's not worth the extra 10, 20 grand. So even if you think, my kids are grown, they're not going to be in the house, it's not a problem with the volume, make sure that your septic system matches the number of bedrooms that you believe you're buying for that reason.
That's exactly right. And one of the other things is, if when you do an inspection for real estate transactions, if there's a three-bedroom septic system there, typically to put a system in, let's just throw a number up there, $20,000, $25,000 to put in a new septic system for three bedrooms. If you're a young couple and you're coming in and you're going to be buying this house, to put on fourth bedroom onto that house, to make it a four-bedroom septic system, you're talking minimal cost, a few thousand dollars. So it's advantageous for a buyer to actually tell the seller that when you design a system, we know you're responsible for three bedrooms, we're going to pay for the extra bedroom. So going forward, if you ever decide to do an addition on the house and you want to add that fourth bedroom, if you were to call somebody in to do this, you'd have an engineer come in, you'd have an excavator come in, you'd have to get permits from the health department. It can cost you an extra $15,000. And getting back to Larry's point is, you want to make sure how many bedrooms it's designed for the value. If you leave it at a three-bedroom house, even when you sell that house and it's a fourth bedroom, you'll get that money back. You may get an extra $8,000, $10,000 based on the number of bedroom that you are and the area that you live in.
So that goes back, Mike. I tell people sometimes when they get repairs done to do the extra yard. Like if the seller's going to put a new oil tank in, maybe you want to talk to them and you'll pay the extra $700 to get the Roth double wall tank that looks nicer on the side of the house instead of the steel one.
Right.
So what you're saying about the septic is, make sure you just don't say fix the septic. Make sure you understand what they're going to do and how they're going to fix it, because even though they may be able to meet the contract, you might want to make it a little bit better, because it's going to save you a lot of money in the long run.
Money in the long run, and the aesthetics of what they can actually do nowadays is also amazing with a septic system.
Sure. And I got to tell you, people, that Mike's company, they show up on time. A big part of Home Team, I've talked before about, we bring a team of inspectors to your house. Everybody likes it because we arrange it in the same window. The septic guy's there, the termite guy's there, I'm there, maybe the water test, depending on what you're doing. We arrange it. His guys come, they're always pleasant, they're always nice, and they always take their shoes off. And now, you might say that's a small thing, but when you're digging in the yard and you're working the yard and you go into somebody's house, the last thing you want to do is have the seller come home and find out that somebody tracked mud all over their carpet. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing in the scheme of things. And your guys, I got to tell you, Mike, I'll pay them a big compliment here. They're very nice. They're very educated. And they actually talk to the client in such a manner that even when things are not good, they don't panic people.
Right. So here's what we try to do. When we show up on site, we'll first want to go into the basement. We want to check the lines that are leaving the house, make sure that there's not two lines. Years ago, when he designed a septic system, you would have a black water system and a gray water system. They can go in different directions. So we go down, we try to identify what's there. Then we want to check and see if there's a sump pump in the basement. Is that sump pump being discharged into the sewer line, which isn't allowed to do? So we'll do an interior inspection of the house. And then we'll go outside the house and we'll locate the septic tank. When we dig up the septic tank, we actually put out a tarp and we throw all the dirt on top of the tarp. This way it doesn't make a mess of what's around it. We put the dirt back. We can pull the tarp off. We kind of level it out. And then in the spring and the summertime, we'll always put grass seed back down so the grass seed grows again. But taking off the shoes is a big part. The guys were trained that neatness counts. I tell all the guys, I want you to treat the other people's houses like it's your own house. So it's a good reflection on the seller that you as a buyer, you're bringing in somebody to do your inspection, and the people you're bringing in are very professional.
It's a reflection on me, too, and I appreciate it because, you know, they don't look at like they're separate companies at that point that, you know, I brought them all together. So I appreciate it, and it makes me look good. And I want to make sure I said that to you face-to-face because we've talked many times in your – but many times in the field, you guys come and go.
Right.
But I appreciate that. But, yeah, you mentioned gray water. One of the things in home inspections I look for is a gray water pipe. Lake Apakung, I find gray water pipe into the ground with the lake there, and they're dumping the washer into an old dry well, basically.
Oh, the other thing you find a lot is if there's especially the lake houses and stuff, if you have a bar, so you have that bar in the basement, that's usually one of the first places you find a discharge into the lake because they can't find where the line's going to be connected to, so they just tie it into outside and it goes out into the lake.
Right.
So,
well, I found one in Lake Apakung that was connected to a steel tank, and the steel tank was drained to the dock.
Right.
Now, here I am sitting on the edge of the dock, and actually the weed boat was going by, the lawnmower that cuts the weeds,
mm-hmm.
and this house was feeding the lake with phosphates. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had people tell me, well, I'm grandfathered.
There is
no such thing as grandfather pollution. I had people in Montague tell me, well, it's been in the house for years and it's grandfathered. And I said, well, you know, you might not get caught. Nobody's going to come inspect it. But you know what? If the DEP knew that you were doing this, they'd be a little annoyed about it because you can't be dumping water into the ground that's not treated anymore.
That's
I mean,
exactly
at one point,
right.
People thought it was great. And, you know, around Bud Lake, there were hundreds of houses that had, they had, you know, small septic tanks because the houses were used 2 months a year and there was no showers, dishwashers, wash machines. Today, you can't do that anymore.
You go back years ago, and it used to be, I mean, we still find them on some of the older houses, and you would actually see where there's 55-gallon drums that they've just used an axe, and they hit the holes in the side of it and surrounded by gravel and everything going to
Well, I was going to say, I had a house on Bud Lake. I took care of it. It was one of the first houses. The deed was signed by Colonel John Bud.
Wow.
That's how back it was. 1901, it was built in literally, it had a 355-gallon drums in sequence as a septic tank before they put the sewer in.
Yeah, it's interesting. We did one up in, just a quick one, we did one up in New York, and we have a fiber optic camera that we run from the septic tank out to locate the drainage area. And I ran the camera out, and I'm looking at the camera, and it gives you a very clear picture, and it looks like I'm looking into a car. And the homeowner was there, and I asked the homeowner, I said, what is it that I'm looking at? He said, it's an old Volkswagen Bug that I used to have that I buried in the ground, and that's where I run the water into. To tell you the truth, it was working. The water was still draining through. He busted out all the windows and surrounded it by rocks, and it was working. But it's amazing some of the things you find out there.
Well, and that's one reason why when people say, should I have a tank sweep, I never say no. Because as soon as they say no, they'll find something like that, mm-hmm. a car, an engine block, or an old steel tank.
Right.
But again, you do the same thing I do. You tell a story to septic. Understand, people get mad at you when you find things wrong because they're disappointed because they want to buy this house and they really love the house by the time we get involved and we're sort of the last things between us and closing. Again, you reminded me before, you don't make up the story. You just tell the story.
That's
right?
All we do. We can only tell you what you have.
Right. And sometimes the pain hurts, but I tell you what, you'd much rather hear it from us before you close than 3 weeks after you close, and then it's your problem. Maybe you could talk a little bit, Mike about some people think a septic tank and a cesspool are the same thing.
So when you have a septic tank is actually a treatment tank. So by today's standards, when you think about a septic system, you have three components. You have the treatment tank, the conveyance system, and the absorption system. So your treatment tank is the septic tank. Flush the toilet, solids come out, go into the septic tank. You have an inlet and an outlet on that tank, so the water will enter the tank with the solids, and then water will exit the tank. The way we keep the solids in the tank is you'll have an inlet baffle and an outlet baffle. The inlet baffle and the outlet baffle are usually about 2 inches off-center from each other. So when you flush the toilet, the solids come in, drop through the inlet baffle, float to the top of the tank. The bottom of the tank is sludge. There's an anaerobic bacteria in there that attacks those solids, kind of digests it, and settles to the bottom. The outlet baffle actually hangs into the tank as well. So when you take a side view of a tank, you got sludge at the bottom, water in the middle, solids on top. Your outlet baffle basically just hangs in the water. So whatever water you introduce, solids will flow to the top, water goes up through the outlet and out into the disposal area. If you have a cesspool, years ago, they used to call them rubble cesspools. Basically looks like the inside of a well. You look in the old wells, it was made of rubble and rocks. Everything would go into that. Then they progressed after that, and you had cinder block cesspools where everything would enter the into the cinder block. They would either turn the cinder block sideways and stack them up, always surrounded by gravel, or they would stack them on top of each other but not cement all the joints, and again around the outside would be stone. And the idea was for the solids to go in, stay in the tank, go to the bottom, water would discharge off around the outside of the tank. That's what a cesspool is. By today's standards, you're not allowed to have cesspools.
You have to replace the cesspool if you sell the house, right?
April 2nd, 2012, New Jersey State came in and said that if there's a cesspool on the property at realtor transfer, the system has to be replaced. You need to contact a licensed engineer.
So if anybody tells you they can sell a house with a cesspool, you heard it here, they can't.
They cannot.
So you're looking at improvement. Doesn't mean don't buy the house, because to tell you the truth, there was a house on Lycopackon had a cesspool. The people buying it still wanted the house because they wanted the property.
Well, you think about it. If you have a buyer, if you have a seller and they want to sell their house and there's a cesspool there, maybe they didn't realize they had a cesspool. Once they know there's a cesspool, a copy of our report has to go to the health department. So going forward, if that deal falls apart and they bring another buyer in, it becomes a disclosure issue. You know you have a cesspool on the property, you're going to have to replace the septic.
Yeah, and that's what happened here is that, you know, but the seller didn't know because it was her parents' house. Mm-hmm. And
right, gone. Exactly, yeah.
So, but the people still wanted it, and there's ways to negotiate that because they wanted the lake property because they have a boat, and this one's right on the lake. So, Again, it's a decision you have to make, but again, just like my inspection of the house, the septic inspection is to give you power and understanding of what you're buying. That's all it is.
That's all this is. This comes down to negotiation between buyer and seller.
We'll take a minute here and do a commercial breaks, and then we'll be back, and we'll have some more to talk about here. I know I could talk for 2 hours on this subject, and I don't know why, but it's such an important part of my home inspection, about the big picture. So we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good afternoon. I'm back. I'm here with Mike Aceto from CSI, Classic Septic Inspection. Me and Mike and I were just talking during the break, and it's funny because I do house inspections and everything so that the deal can fall apart, but the pressure that the septic tank is it's a big relief when we get that report when the guy in the yard says everything looks good. because that means the sale is going to move forward, and hopefully I'm not finding anything that bad either. But, Mike, maybe just to recap, talk about a little bit about the transaction and what you guys do. When I make the call and I make an appointment, I got an appointment today. You're coming on site on Monday at 10 o'clock.
So what do you guys do? Give us the call, the girls in my office will give a call to the health department, tell them we're doing an inspection, or we send out what they call an OPRA form, where we fill out the information we're looking for. We'll send a request in. Board of Health will either fax it over to us. A lot of times they will. They'll email us what's on file. And, again, it will tell us the number of bedrooms it was designed for, if there's any problems with the system, typically the age of the system, and most important, how many bedrooms it was designed for. Once we get those documents, we show up at the house, and as we discussed before, we'll go in the basement. But once we get outside, we'll expose the septic tank. We check the inlet and the outlet. We'll expose those. We run fiber optic camera through the lines to be sure there's no breaks or root infiltration in those conveyance lines. Locate the distribution box if there is one there. We'll inspect it with the camera. If we think there's reason to, we'll have to expose that distribution box, and then we locate the drainage area. There's different types of drainage area. You can have a seepage pit. You can have trenches. You can have cesspools. You can have disposal fields. There's disposal fields with infiltrators. There's numerous types of systems that are out there.
So part of the process is educating the home buyer, too, because I noticed that you guys do a lot of time. You're explaining what, like, here's where the effluent comes out of the house. This is where it goes. This is what it does. And, I mean, you did a system the other day for me. I think it was called a Norwegian system.
A Noriko? Right.
Oh,
it's a treatment tank. It's
but there was three tanks that you opened up, and there was, like, a pump in one and an aerator in another. I mean, it looked like a small sanitation, septic system.
The new systems that they're designing today is more geared towards cleaner water. So we want greener, cleaner is what they're looking for. So these treatment tanks are actually the aerobic tanks, and there's going to be pumps inside of them that's going to help generate bacteria in that tank. So the oxygenated water that's there helps that bacterial growth in those tanks. So you get a cleaner water that actually discharges the septic tank. Now, you may have a Noriko tank, and then you may have after that a pump tank or an extra tank after that. Kind of just get a cleaner water. There's ultraviolet lights that they're using nowadays. So, the bigger the treatment system or the more advanced the treatment system is, the more expensive, of course, they're going to be. But yeah. A traditional system will just be a septic tank going into a disposal field nowadays.
I noticed they had a service contract on this.
That's the catch. Now, as a buyer, you may go and look at the house. Let's just say you're going out. They meet up with you. You do your home inspection, and we do our septic inspection. The system is found to be unsatisfactory. You have to install a new system. Now the engineer comes out here, and they design a system, and they design one of the systems. They're working now with the seller. Not with the buyer. So the buyer is not going to know what's actually there. One of the things we do is we tell the buyer, after the system is installed and you get in, settle yourself into the house, give us a call, let us come back out, we'll run you through the system. It doesn't cost you anything extra. We'll be happy to explain to you what you have here. So going forward, you'll know what the maintenance is going
to be. Well, that's big. If you're going to say that, you're going to offer that as a free thing. I'm going to tell people that because, you know, getting professionals to give you advice is not easy sometimes. And some of those systems have alarm systems. You know, quite a few of those systems have alarm boxes. Yeah, on the garage. And if that goes off in the middle of the night, you got to know what to do.
Right. It's not always about, I mean, of course, we're all in the business to make money, but it's more important that we educate the clients. So by me going out there and doing that second appointment or going out and not charging for us to show up, that goes a long way. I mean, they'll know that we're an honest company, and I want them going forward that they know what to do. One of the things we tell them when we do our inspection is you'll get my inspection report, put that into a folder. Every time you pump out your septic tank, which should be every 2 to 3 years, take that pump slip and put it into a folder. Now when you go to sell the house, you give that to the realtor. Tell the realtor, here's my septic information. You get a buyer coming in to buy your house. Now they know you've been taken care of. Basically like your car. You got Carfax. These are your septic facts. So it's a good idea to keep records on your septic system.
Mike, that ties right into I do a seller's education series on sellers and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is to keep records like that.
Sure.
And keep them when you're selling a house, put them out. Put them in a file folder. I tell people, like, they pull an oil tank from the ground and they have it certified.
Right.
Put the certification in a Ziploc bag and tape it to the wall next to the furnace.
So,
I go in the furnace and I see copper lines bent over in the wall. I think oil tank.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will leave the house and go to another house because of that. They won't even talk to you about it.
Yeah.
They're scared. They're running. Now they see the certification that the town was there, pulled it. They certified it. Now the above-ground tank is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're at peace. Nobody has to panic. Nobody has to do a tank swear. So it's similar to that. I never thought of the septic. It's like your car. Keep your maintenance records.
There's always horror stories out there. If you have a septic, don't ever buy a house with a septic system. I don't understand why people would even say that. I mean, You have a septic system. They typically last anywhere between 25 to 35 years. But when you have a septic system, you're not paying a sewer tax. So over the course of that 25, 35 years, the cost of a septic system, what you would normally pay in sewer tax, kind of equals itself out anyway.
Yeah, the only time I saw that hurt was when they put the sewer system in Bud Lake. People who put a recent septic system were forced to fill them in.
Right.
And then pay the $2,000 or $3,000 to connect to the sewer.
Right, now,
so they got double whammy.
Up in Pequannock, the village of Pequannock and Pompton right now, they're allowing you, if they can, you can keep it until they actually get the sewers hooked up. So, I mean, a lot of the townships and the counties will work with you on that. If that's
I know. They give them low-interest loans and everything else. But those are the only time I ever saw that it wasn't a good thing to have either, you know.
Right.
But, you know, you mentioned sewer versus septic. And we'll do a little subject topic right now on the sewer line. Because one of the things that I do recommend at times, don't do it all the time, but you have an older house. You have a house in the woods. You have a lot of vegetation in the front yard. You know, you're responsible for the sewer line out till it hits the street, just like you are your water line, just like you are your gas line and your electric.
It's a costly repair.
Yeah, that sewer line, if it's clogged, and, you know, people say, well, can't you tell if you run the water? But, you know, houses have not been empty, has been empty, and I run water for an hour. It could be that's all liquid.
Right.
You get in the house and start dumping solids into the bowl and everything else down the kitchen sink.
Here's the other thing with those old houses that have the old cast iron sewer line. So the house has a sewer line, goes out, connects into the public sewer. There might be the older people, those older houses are in a state where they didn't use as much water as now you're buying a house and you're moving a family into there. Those old cast iron pipes would pit from the inside out, which means that you had a 4-inch pipe and the pitting that's inside that pipe would kind of reduce. So now you have maybe 1 inch or 2 inch inside the pipe. Why that one lady's living there or the one man's living there, the water flows past or it backs up a little bit. Now you put a family in there, they start doing laundry, letting the bathtub out, that's when you start to see the backup. So what we offer is we'll go out and we do a sewer line scope. We locate the main clean out, we run the camera out, we can identify if there's any breaks or any clogs. The fiber optic camera that we use actually has a locator on it, so we can go out and locate where it is, the depth of where that pipe actually is, and then we'll flag that area. At that point, as a buyer, you send the report to your attorney. Your attorney sends it over to the seller's report to the seller's attorney, at which point they have to get an excavator in there and figure out how they're going to do a repair.
Yeah, and the other side of that is even if you're buying a bank-owned property that they say is as-is, which no property is as-is, because you have to decide whether you want it or not.
Right.
What as-is means to me is the seller's not going to fix it. It doesn't mean that this is not a problem. It means they're
right,
not
so
going to fix it.
You want to weigh how much it's going to cost you.
If you're getting a good deal on the house and you know that, okay, it's here, and I can dig that up and fix it for a couple $1,000 or whatever.
Absolutely.
Then you make your decision. Again, it's power because now you know what you're buying. I tell people my goal is, with my inspection, and my inspection includes the sewer, includes that, is comfort to close. Is knowledge is power. Nobody wants a buyer's remorse. You don't want to buy something and not know it. If you know it's there, you know you need a new roof, you know your pipes, you know. And people say to me, how come you didn't predict a leak in a cast iron pipe? Mike just said it before. I see them in the basement all the time. They look beautiful. They're painted, they're nice, they're clean, but inside they're rotting right to the skin. And you know what? 2 months after you move in, it breaks through the pipe. And people say, well, you should have saw that. Well, guys, nobody's Superman. They're not X-ray vision. You can't see. Galvanized pipe and cast iron pipes are notorious for looking great on the outside, but on the inside they look like a clogged artery. Just
right,
like
and even with the new construction, there's a lot of new construction, and we find the new PVC pipes that go out there. They build a house. They have the sewer line. That's one of the first things that go in. And now they're going to start backfilling around the outside of the property, and they're doing their landscapes. So you have machine running back and forth. A lot of times those machines with the extra weight, they'll separate those pipes. So the water will drain off, but it drains off slowly. Now you move into the house. Now there's a problem. And with the new construction, a lot of times, you get the guys in there. They're painting. They're spackling. They're cleaning out their brushes. They're cleaning out their buckets. That stuff goes down into the drain, and it settles at the bottom of the line. That's going to also reduce the size of that pipe for you. So it's kind of important to always, like you said, you want to do your home inspections, you want to do your due diligence, you want to know what you're getting yourself involved in when you're buying this house. Kind of think about doing that sewer line inspection as well. Not that we're trying to just get to work, but we're just trying to protect the consumer.
Yeah,
also
and the sewer line, guys, I mean, we won't quote prices here, but it's not expensive. It's really not expensive to do that. But, you know, Mike mentions about doing the sewer line, but in doing the septic, we had somebody who said that it's a brand new septic, we don't have to look at it. And I said, well, you know, you should do the septic inspection anyway because the downfall could be thousands. So they did it, and your guys found it, that tank had settled and was disconnected from the field.
Right.
Because just because of the weight of the tank, it's settled in the ground.
What time of the year that they do it? Like if you're doing it in the winter, The ground is kind of a little bit, it's frozen and stuff, so there's going to be some settling involved. So you'll see that when you do check those newer systems, there's minor problems. The good thing about that is almost all of the contractors that install those will honor their work and they'll go back
sure,
and they'll fix it.
Sure, but again, you want to know about it.
You want to know about it, right? You don't want to get into the house, and, you know, and usually when the problems happen is it's when you're having a party and you're having numerous people there, they're flushing the toilet and it starts backing up, you're kind of embarrassed. So, yeah, you want to kind of know what you're getting yourself into.
You know, I tell people that catastrophes don't happen at convenient times. That's why, like I say, we get an oil burner, you get a maintenance contract, because it's not going to break in the middle of the week when you're home. It's going to break Christmas Eve and you're on a road trip or something.
Right. To do an inspection, it's kind of just insurance is basically what it is. I'm buying a house. I'm probably going to be the most money I'm ever going to spend on a single item in my life. I want to know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, see, I hadn't met Mike in person, but I knew I liked him. But now I know why, because he thinks like I do. I think about the, you know, I'm a home inspector, and people say, well, why don't you do that? I said, well, you know, I'm a generalist. I'm like, you go to your doctor and you have a heart problem, he sends you to a cardiologist. You know, you go to your doctor, you have an arm problem or a bone problem, they send you an orthopedic.
Right.
I don't pretend to be everything to everybody. I can identify bad plumbing and I can identify problems visually with plumbing. I can't identify a bad septic system. I can't identify a pipe in the ground in the front yard. Some home inspectors do the sewer scope, but, you know, tell you the truth, I don't open sewer pipes every day. And, you know, a plastic PVC pipe that's 3 years old, I'll have no problem opening it. A cast iron pipe that hasn't been opened in 35 years, you better have a torch, you better have the right equipment, and you
we'll
better
never,
do it right.
We'll never put the same cap in. Cast iron pipe always gets a new cap. We'll always install a new cap. Just because those old ones, you know, are going to leak anyway, and it gets sealed properly.
You know, I always wondered why there was always a new cap. I thought maybe they had to cut it to get it off.
No, because, you know, the old ones, they just don't come out right, and then you try to put the old one back in. So there's a lot of reasons why we don't, but we'll always put a new one back
in.
There's
another thing. See, I learned something new every day. I learned something the other day in the field with one of your guys. He said, when you get your tank pumped, the last thing you should ask the guy who pumps your tank, first of all, don't do it when you're not home. Do it when you're home and ask him to see the bottom of your tank.
Yeah, I always tell him that. Try to have, when you get in your septic, as a homeowner now, and you move into this house and you're living there, a good idea is to have your septic tank pumped every 2 to 3 years. We kind of tell the homeowners to get it pumped every 2 years. The easiest way to remember that is you do it every even year, you do it every odd year. So you're not saying, when was the last time I do it? Was it 4 years? Was it 5 years? And be home when you're there. Have the pumper come out. When the pumper's done, just tell him you want to take a look inside the tank. They'll have a mirror on their truck. They'll be able to look at the baffles for you and check the baffles for you. Almost all the pumpers will be very happy to show you that. They have nothing to hide from you. You're paying them. There's no reason why you shouldn't take a look at it. And you'll learn a little bit more also.
And if you spot a problem early, I'm sure the cost of repair is a lot cheaper early than after a catastrophe.
Always
after a catastrophe.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And, you know, another thing that your guys pointed out to the homeowner, which I thought was an interesting thing, they said talk to your neighbors, because sometimes the sewer pump guys, if they come out and they do three houses in the street, they'll give you a better rate.
You'll get a better rate.
And that's true with a lot of contractors. Because, I mean, like pavers, when they do driveways, they do them cheaper because half the cost is getting their equipment to the site in the scene. If they're going to come down the street and they got a 5,000-gallon tank and they can pump three houses.
That's going back to what we talked about. When you're buying a house and you have to get a new system, is it three or four bedrooms? It's no big deal. They're going to bring in a little bit extra material because the septic tank size will stay the same for a three and a four bedroom. Once you get past four bedrooms, it's five. Then you have to increase the tank. Each bedroom you add on, it has to be an additional 250 gallons for a tank. But all the equipment's already there.
Yeah,
so it's cheaper.
But I thought that was a great idea, though. Talk to your neighbors. Because normally people wouldn't do that. You don't, your septic tank, you don't talk to people about.
Right.
Talk to them. When do you get yours pumped? Who do you use?
You're all dealing with the same thing.
I mean, you know, the oil companies love it when they get three or four houses together because the truck comes in one stop and empties the tank.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cost-effective for them that, you know, sometimes their cost can be 30-40% of the fuel delivery. Could be the delivery of the guy.
Right, especially nowadays.
Yeah. So they try to arrange it that way automatically. Now, if you can do it, now you can put the leverage on them and maybe get a better deal or at least a couple bucks off.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. But, I mean, I like the idea of the maintenance records, too, because I'm going to add that to my my presentation for the realtors because I teach them what to do to prepare a house to sell
about
getting maintenance records out. Have them there because like I said, if you've done it and it's been taken care of, then it releases the pressure. And that's the difference between your house selling faster than your neighbor's house selling faster. The difference between your house selling at list price or you're selling at the discount.
So here's a good thing, too, is that we do what they call pre-sale inspections. And as a seller, you're getting ready to sell your house. And we always tell them, try to do a pre-sale inspection. What that's going to help you do is if you're selling your house and you don't do the pre-sale inspection, let's just throw a number out there. You're going to be selling your house for $500,000. Then you negotiate with the buyer coming in and you say, okay, $450,000 we're going to sell it for. Now they come in, they do their septic inspection, and it turns out you're going to have to spend another $25,000, $30,000. You just lost that money. We're going into the negotiation knowing that you're going to need a new septic system. You may say $500,000, but then $475,000 is tops. I'm not going to lose that extra $25,000, $30,000. So it's important, again, going back to you.
Well, it goes back to competition, and that realtors will tell you it's even more important is if you've done that and the competition hasn't, the people are going to buy your house faster.
That's exactly. And if you're putting a new house on the market and you're listing it as with a new septic system, if you're a buyer, think about it. You want to look at the house down the street that the septic system's 15, 20 years old? Or you want to look at the house
that has a clear report that it was just checked?
Correct.
You're still going to do your own. It's just like doing a home inspection.
That's right.
You're still going to do your own, but at least you know that.
And you're protecting the seller because now the seller says, you get a guy out there says, oh, by the way, you need to put a baffle on. Well, they just inspected it a month ago and it was nothing wrong with it. You're going to have to call my guy. So we'll go back out and we'll meet with that other company. We'll tell them we'll come out and we'll meet with you. I could tell you probably half the time the other company doesn't want to meet us. Well, it was missing when I was there.
Okay. Yeah. So it's interesting out there, but there's little tips, though. So if you own a house right now and you have a septic and you get it pumped, make sure you're there to see the bottom of the tank. Because if they only pump out half of it and you're back in a year and a half, 2 years, or shorter than that.
Check those baffles.
And check the baffles and ask the questions. I mean, understand your system because that's half the battle. And if you have a city sewer, and you have a lot of vegetation, a lot of trees especially. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't have a problem if you don't. But typically I find the problems with the pipes are when they have a heavy tree load in the front. Because the trees will grow deep and they grow for moisture and they'll actually seek it right in the pipe. And the hairline fingers of the roots are what get in there and start blocking things up.
Or think about it. You may put up a fence. The guy's coming out. He doesn't know you have a septic system. He's digging down. He hits that pipe, and he puts a footing over for a patio or for a deck, and they put that on top of that pipe. It doesn't break it right away, but as it settles, it does push it down and separates it. So it's always a good idea to check it.
And that's another thing is I find that if the people have the maps to the sewer system already, that it helps a lot because then it limits the time on site. Let's talk about maintenance going on. I mean, should people put bacteria? Should they put Riddick's in their tank?
So it's always been a question that goes way back when. So here's what I've been taught over the years and years and from what I've seen. Every time you go to the bathroom, you're putting bacteria in that tank. So if you have a family of four or five, you're going to the bathroom every day, bacteria goes into that tank. It's a natural process. They do have bacteria additives that you can put in. There's CCLS. There's the Riddick stuff that you hear about. You can put that in, and it helps bacterial growth in that tank itself. So it helps break down those solids. People living in the house, when they design a septic system, never does the engineer tell you, make sure you put a bacteria additive into the tank. So you don't have to do it. We recommend it when you have people, the older people that do the snowbirds, that'll be leaving the house for 3 or 4 months. Put some in before you leave. Put some in when you come back just to help generate that bacteria again. But do you have to do it? No. Will it hurt the system? 9 out of 10 times, no. There was one case where we met a gentleman that said that he buys the bacteria and he puts bacteria in his tank every day. The system was only 10 years old. We went and checked his disposal field, and it was saturated because the bacteria that was in that tank was breaking down the solids so much, the laundry and all the water that he was using was forcing those suspended solid cells that they were breaking down, forcing them up through the outlet baffle and out into the disposal area. So on a disposal field, you have 18 inches of stone typically, and beneath that is bank runner select fill, and that was clogging up that field. He was devastated that the field wasn't working because he thought he was doing the right thing by putting his bacteria in all the time. It's usually a few ounces once a month if you're going to use it.
Okay. Is there anywhere they can find out that, it seemed perfectly logical right there when you were saying it, but I could see me getting the box and not knowing what to do.
It's on, all the instructions are on it.
Okay. So
with the Riddick and stuff, you can throw it in there. Most of the time, it's peace of mind. If you're living in the house, you don't have to do anything. Again, when I say that they design systems, nowhere do you find it in the state guidelines. Nowhere does an engineer ever tell you you better put bacteria additives into the tank.
Good.
It's
good.
Natural bacteria.
That goes to my next point. What's the difference between inspecting a house that's occupied and one that's not? Because I'm doing a lot of bank properties, and I'm doing one on Monday. Tuesday, you guys are coming out, and the house hasn't been occupied in probably 18 months, 24 months.
Right. So now when you have a house that's vacant, that means no water's been going into that system. And again, the original design of the system is based on a number of bedrooms. So if you have a 3-bedroom house, that system should be accepting 500 gallons of water. If nobody's been there for a year, chances are if that field was elevated at that time when it was occupied, it's going to have time to drain off. When I just talked to you about the stone being 18 inches in that bank run of select fill, we probe through the field to see where the levels are. A lot of times there may not be any water in the field, but we'll pull that bar out and it's full of black sludge. That tells you when that house was occupied that the level was elevated above. The distribution box will have signs of it that it's been elevated. Think of a kid that when they're dirty, you put them in the bathtub, they get the water out, you get a ring around the tub. The same thing in a distribution box, the same thing in a septic tank. It'll leave a ring or a mark, basically they call it a wear mark, right where that water level was at one time. So when you have a vacant house, a couple of things you want to know about that. So if the septic tank is leaking and you open up the septic tank on a vacant house, it's like a fish tank that has a crack in it. Wherever that water level is, wherever that crack is, that's where your water level is going to be. So you'll be able to say, well, was it recently pumped? Most of the time by us digging, we'll know if it was recently pumped or not. And if it wasn't pumped, then that tells you that the tank is leaking.
So even after a good period of being vacant, the tank should be full?
Should always be operational level, unless there's a vent on it or something that it evaporates. But if the house is vacant, you may have an inch or so. So what we'll do is we'll run the water. The level should come up again to operational level, which is right at the bottom of that outlet pipe. So it flows into that's the conveyance system. It'll flow through the conveyance system.
So that's the reason why you bring the water.
That's the reason why you want to bring water. So if the house has no running water, we will. Otherwise, we'll run the water. You could also, the state says that if the house is vacant for 7 or more days, you could do what they call a hydraulic load test. So if the house is vacant, you don't need to pump out the septic tank. You'll run the design flow rate into that tank itself and into the disposal area. You'll take a measurement before, take a measurement after, come back 24 hours later, remeasure and introduce water again.
So but that's only when the house is 7 to 10 days?
7 to 10 days is what they recommend. Now, for me, going back to, if you have a newer system, it's 2 or 3 years old, and you have somebody that just built their dream house, and they got relocated. Now they're out of the house for 14 days. Do you have to do a hydraulic load test? You really don't. It's a waste of time. So even though the guidelines stayed, and the guidelines in the state of New Jersey says, if you're going to do an NJDEP inspection, here's what we recommend you do. Nothing's mandated. It says you don't even have to do an inspection if you don't want. A lot of the townships and a lot of the counties, not a lot of them, but some of them, are now saying that the state guidelines are now our code and you have to do it. So one of the sticking points for a lot of these rules are, which in Hunterdon County, they're actually going to have a meeting at the end of the month about this, is that pumping of the septic tank. I understand they want every septic tank pumped on every inspection. Who's responsible for it? Is it the buyer or is it the seller? So they want it done, and they're kind of sticking it to the buyer, saying, well, if you want to buy that house, you have to pump out the septic tank during your inspection. For me, just being an honest man and telling everybody, why is the seller responsible for it? So you're doing your home inspection. I'm doing the septic inspection. They hire a pump truck to come out. Pumper pumps out that septic tank. You come out and you say, so-and-so, you know, you have a big crack in your foundation wall. I'm not sure you really want to get this house. You have some problems here. They may say, I don't want to buy this house. Well, now they just pay for somebody's septic tank to be pumped out. So the way we do that is we'll tell them that here's what the state guidelines are. Here's what the township guidelines are. Tank has to be pumped out. Let's go out and do our inspection first. Let's make sure that the system is functioning. If it is functioning, it has to be pumped out in order for it to pass code here. That becomes a negotiation between buyer and seller. And the state guidelines actually say that. Or anything that we do, it's any inspection.
Well, so let me ask you, though. If that deal falls through and we pump it, and 3 weeks later somebody else comes along and buys it, they have to pump it out again?
By their rules, they do. Now, the other question is, if the house is vacant, we talked about vacant houses, you have somebody come out and they pump out that septic tank. That deal falls apart. Now, I come back in and I do another inspection a month down the road. Was that house, was the tank leaking or was the tank pumped recently?
I don't know.
And what the other thing is, if you're going to hire the pump truck to come out and pump out the septic tank and the disposal area is found to be unsatisfactory, where it's saturated, you're not allowed to pump out the tank. So that gives the seller an opportunity to get a second opinion and find the same thing the first guy did. The pumper's going to get paid no matter what. So as a buyer, you're out there and you're saying, wait, I'm paying this guy and he didn't even pump out the tank. They're going to get paid. So that's why this meeting that Hunterdon County put together is a great idea. I think that there's always, even though there's guidelines here and there's rules that have to be followed, I think we can always tweak them and we can figure out why and where. Like, what exceptions do we have that we can actually make this work better for everybody?
Well, what I like about you guys, Mike, is you don't do things that are not necessary, but you will tell them if it is necessary, and we do it in a step format. So you're not paying up front. Since you're paying for the minimum, you're paying for what they need.
Right.
And then only things that are additional, and you don't kill the people for, you know, coming back.
Right. And like I said, if they say that they want to pump out that septic tank after we're there, but no problem. We'll go back. We won't charge them again. We're in the area all the time. We'll stop by and we'll check.
I got to take a break, but I want to correct one thing, Mike. If I find a crack in the basement, I don't tell people not to buy the house.
Okay, yep.
I refer them to
it. Scares
no,
people,
just
scares
so you know, I tell people that, you know, there's a crack in the basement and they need a structural engineer to refer it.
Right,
because
right.
Literally, it's still a choice of whether to buy it. I tell people I bought my house. I put a roof, siding, window. Those three bathrooms and a kitchen in it before I moved in.
Right, I stand corrected. You're right.
You know,
you're exactly
because
right.
I knew what I was buying and I knew what price I was paying and it was worth it still. So
right.
Understand that we don't scare people. We just give them
the information.
But I got a couple of commercials and then we'll wrap up and we'll come back. So hang on.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back, and we're close to wrapping up. But, Mike, is there anything that you want to leave people with? I always try to make people calm. I don't want you panicking about your septic tank. They can be fixed. There's numerous ways to do it. There's always a way to do it. Hopefully it's a simple way. But
the bottom line is any problem that a septic has could be fixed. Don't anybody say that you can't fix it. Don't buy a house with a septic system. A septic system is designed to do exactly what it's designed to do. Treat the solids, treat the water. A good working septic system, you don't have to worry about anything. Get it inspected. Get it done properly. Key is maintenance. Every 2 to 3 years, pump out that septic tank. Don't put things in there that shouldn't go in there. Feces, toilet paper should be the only thing that goes into that septic tank. Feminine hygiene products, paper towels, baby wipes, Q-tips, grease, oil paints, etc. Things like that shouldn't go into that tank.
So even baby wipes that they claim, you know, because...
Baby wipes are not good. You know, you're going to read... You see things that say septic safe. I don't believe it. And the other thing is garbage disposals. Garbage disposals, you put all that food particles down and it breaks down, goes into that tank. That's all suspended solids throughout that tank. So you really don't want those there.
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What about the garbage disposals that are designed for septic tanks?
That's what I was just saying. There's no such... I mean, they say they're safe, but you still... So here's a rule of thumb. If you're going to have a garbage disposal, the state says, or the guidelines say, pump it out every year, annually. Always pump out your septic tank. It gets costly.
Even if it's a special garbage disposal, for
still,
example...
All those particles still get chopped up. So they still go out and they land in the septic tank. So when you have solids, feces, toilet paper, goes into the tank and they float to the top. That bacteria could break it down. Those particles that you're talking about kind of are just swirling around inside that tank. So they'll escape that tank, get out into the disposal area, and clog it up.
Well, the one I have that I never did use, but now I have one that has some liquid that supposedly...
That's a bacteria additive. So it's bacteria saying it's going to help break it down. My suggestion always is don't use them.
Right. And if you look, well, a lot of towns now with sewer systems don't want you to have disposals either.
No.
A lot of them are against code because right now, I mean, it used to be that, you know, and I did a house the other day that the drain pipes in the house were connected to the sewer system. They won't make them come rip those out, but if they did any work in the house, they're going to make them disconnect that. Because... Well, it costs money to treat sewer treatment plants. So just like your septic system, the town doesn't want the extras.
Right.
And if you've ever been to a sewer treatment plant and you see the Q-tips, and like you said, it's funny because baby wipes.
So
I, and I think when my kids, I had three kids under five, and they were all in diapers at one point, and I think all the things that went down that toilet, I mean, it's crazy. And you talked about water usage. One of the things that I see a lot of is the low gallons toilets, which are remarkable. That, oh, yeah, it only takes a gallon to dump, but then you got to dump it. People end up flushing it three times. So what's the difference between flushing a one-gallon toilet three times or a two-gallon toilet once?
That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, people don't understand that that's a bullet that goes through your house. I mean, and it's a slug-like, and we talk about that with S-drains and everything else.
So getting back to what we think they should do, just always be conscious of where your septic system components are. Where's your septic tank? Where's your disposal field, your disposal area? Don't park any cars over the top of it. Don't put any decks over the top of it. Don't put sheds over the top of it. You don't want anything there. All those disposal fields are going to work also with some evaporation. You want some movement there. So if you're going to cover it over with a patio like the disposal field, you're going to take a septic tank and you're going to pave over it because it would be a great place for me to have a driveway. It's not rated to do that. So if you're going to put a septic tank under a driveway, it should be traffic rated. So always kind of know where your components are. If you're going to be doing work on your house, make sure that those contractors go and get a design of where that septic system is so they're not going to be damaging your septic.
Well, just like you say, 1-800-DIG before you dig.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know
where your septic system is.
I tell people, say, well, the leach field's in the front yard. I said it's a great place for it because front yard, you want to mow and you want it to look pretty, but you don't need to play on it. You don't need to drive the car on it and everything else. And leave the backyard for the pool, the deck.
And you know, like Sussex County, there's a lot of those houses up there that it's all property. So they're having a party. People are parking on the lawns. They're parking all over the place. Where's your septic system? Are you
damaging
it?
You know what we used to say? You used to say you could always find a septic tank because you'd play ball and it'd always be the muckiest place.
That's when it's not working.
I know. But it's funny because the grass is always greener over the septic
tank. That's
what
people always say. Oh, the grass is always greener there. You don't want it to be greener.
There you go. If your grass is greener and it's wetter, there's probably a problem. It probably means your leach bed isn't leaching.
Is it draining? Because think about it. If it's raining and the grass is getting greener and it's designed to drain water. So in this hot summer droughts and stuff, usually where your disposal field is, that's usually where the grass is dying.
There you go. There you go now. So don't think that just because it's greener on the septic tank that it's a good thing.
If it's greener, you should be alarmed.
But there are plenty of professionals around it. So if you think you have a problem, get an opinion on it because it is critical. If you have a well on the property, think about it. The water's recycling in the ground. You really want the water, the system to be functioning correctly.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise you're drinking the contaminants.
Right. And there's all good guys out there. Well, it's not just my company itself. I mean, we're an allegiance. There's all septic inspectors out there. There's pumpers out there. We're all out there to do the same thing. So I'm not telling anybody come and use our company. That's not what we're here for. We're here to just try to educate the consumer today. Know your septic system. That's the bottom line.
Right. And it's important. And people say, well, I got city water. But you know what? My city water comes out of a well.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out of a well on the top of the hill not too far from my house.
Right.
So the people who have septics in the area, guess what? The water underground doesn't know to stop at property lines. People, we're all drinking the same water. In New Jersey, most of it comes from underground. We have very few reservoirs that we draw out of, in a sense. So take care of the ground. We all drink out of it. We all play in the lakes. I'm annoyed when I go to Lake Opakling and I see somebody dumping, you know, they have a PVC pipe dumping in the lake because it just blows my mind. We spend millions of dollars trying to keep the lake clean.
Well, they think the sump pumps. The sump pumps are good. I can pump those into the lake. No, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the new construction now. You'll know better than anybody. When they put the new construction together now, they're putting seepage pits in. That's where they want that rainwater going now.
I love it when I see a seepage pit or dry well with the drain pipes because, you know, it also keeps the water away from your foundation.
Exactly right.
So now the water's not – if you've got a damp basement, I guarantee you where I'll find it is the downspouts draining against your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I had a wet wall in my house when I bought it. I went outside. The drain pipe was dumping there. I put a six-foot extension on it. 6 months later, the wall was dry.
Right.
So guess what, people? The water, it's a big system. Whether it's your wastewater, your drinking water, it's all connected. We need to take care of it. We need to do it right. When you get a home inspection, Don't get mad at the guy because he's only telling you like it is. I mean, he's telling you what the system is, how it's working, and what you can expect.
That's what you're paying us for.
And it's a big part. It's a big part of your house purchase. So that's why I'd like to have Mike. We'll have Mike come back in a couple months, and we'll do some more because as we get further in the season, I think we'll learn more too. And Mike, why don't you give the people your phone number and or your email address? Because Mike's guys are great in a sense they answer questions. They've never turned one of my customers away, and they were very patient with them. And you can imagine, these guys know the system inside and out, and you get a lot of questions that probably seem routine, but you guys treat every one of them.
My girls in the office are very educated as well with septic. So if you want to go on site, it's www.classicseptic.com, and our phone number is 201-857-3011, or if you want to send us an email, it's classicseptic@optonline.net.
Well, great. And so check out their website. Give them a call if you need it. He did say the girls in the office are great because I call them often and they're always willing to help. But it's important. So make sure you get your questions and get your septics taken care of. And we'll go from there. Next week, I'm hoping to bring in an energy company that's going to talk about how to save on energy. There's a lot of confusion out there with solar systems, solar panels. I know my next host has some experience with solar panels, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. But there is ways to save money on electric. I mean, I keep getting a letter a week to leave JCP&L. They'll still deliver it, but I can save money, and I never do anything because I'm always afraid that I'm going to sign with somebody that's going to cost me more money. So I've got somebody coming in from Stream, I hope, and they're going to talk about the energy, cell phones, things that you can do to save a few bucks because we're all trying to save a few bucks because it seems like pay is going up a lot slower than everybody's expenses.
Absolutely.
So with that, let me just see what my time. Yeah, we've got about half a minute, but have a good week. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
And I do want to thank you guys again. The service has been great. You're part of my team. And that's a big part of my inspection process and trying to put people in homes and make their dreams come true and make sure they know what they're buying. So with that, I'm out of here today. We'll be back next Friday. Thanks, and have a good one.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says it's hard to believe the tornado damage in Lee County, Alabama. Trump got an aerial view of the destruction by a helicopter shortly after Air Force One touched down at Fort Benning, Georgia. Meanwhile, the first funerals are being held today for nearly two dozen people who were killed by Sunday's powerful twister. 23 Republicans voted against an anti-hate resolution that did end up passing, though, in the House of Representatives. One of those Republicans was Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. He joins Fox News and explains why he voted against the bill.
We didn't address it. We just in generally said, basically we were against hate, except maybe not the kind of hate of a Democrat that hated Republicans and tried to kill a number of them, shot Steve Scalise now, and the violence against Trump supporters.
U.S. Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson has decided to resign, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan. And then some friends at church told
insurance. We were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
A jolting February jobs report. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The U.S. economy adding around 20,000 jobs in February when economists were expecting to see 180,000 jobs created. It's the worst month for job creation since September 2017. The jobless rate ticked down 0.1% to 3.8%, and the good news, average hourly earnings increased by 3.4% year to year.
Bill Shine is stepping down from his position as Deputy White House Chief of Staff for Communications to take a new position. He will now be a senior advisor to the Trump 2020 campaign. Shine is a former Fox News executive who left the network 2 years ago. Reports say Jake Patterson will plead guilty to kidnapping 13-year-old Jamie Kloss and murdering her parents in a Barron County, Wisconsin home. Patterson wrote a letter to a reporter at a Minnesota news station saying he has huge amounts of remorse for his crimes. This is USA Radio News.
Coming to theaters for 3 days only. Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy.
The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book.
A new documentary follows investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney's faith-affirming journey throughout the Middle East in search of scientific evidence that Moses wrote the first books of the Bible.
So the question is the Bible a literal story of God acting in history?
Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy. In theaters March 14th, 16th, and 19th only. For tickets, go to patternsofevidence.com/Moses.
Friday is International Women's Day. The theme of the 111th annual celebration is Balance for Better. Events are scheduled all around the world for women small business owners. Tammy Bruce is the president of the Independent Women's Voice. She's also a Fox News contributor. She joins Fox News to talk about the hurdles that women have overcome.
Well, look, this, what's terrific about this, even what we're doing here, not so long ago, within my lifetime, women weren't considered able of delivering the news because their voices were not authoritative enough, right? Mm-hmm. Even just the perception of the power of women has shifted within two generations, effectively. So that's very exciting. But we're also looking here now at, of course, an economic